Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Back to the regular jingle of the Everyday Saturday podcast. After a throwback Thursday yesterday, you guys are so predictable. So freaking predictable. We want to hear the old jingle, Sam. We want to hear the old jingle. So we did three shows yesterday. Mary Ellen, thank you once again for recommending a throwback Thursday, a regular feature of the show. You have a suggestion for the Everyday Saturday podcast? Hit me up, man. At Sam Crowley is the best way. At Sam Crowley on Twitter. Always listening to the fans. It's the only way you're going to grow a brand is to listen to the feedback. It's awesome. Hey, also, by the way, head over to iTunes. Leave a 5-star rating for this show. Just search Sam Crowley in the search function of iTunes. Find the Everyday Saturday podcast. Just click on 5 stars. It takes less than 5 seconds to give 5-star ratings on iTunes, if you didn't know that. I sure would appreciate it, but more importantly, it helps others find the show. And I really do. Hey, let me just click on the iTunes logo since I've got my computer up. Let's see. Review came in yesterday. Perfect pitch to make your deal happen by Wisco Kid. Here's a review on iTunes yesterday. I like to listen before my trek to the salt mines. It has gotten me to take action and restart my real estate business I closed after the banks killed Main Street. Thanks for the kick in the shorts, Sam. Hey, my pleasure, man. Thank you for going to work at the salt mines every single day, man. Awesome. And by the way, I know that real estate bubble that burst back in 2008. You know, I've done some research on that, being a real estate investor. And let me tell you, man, that is like Wall Street, Las Vegas. That's worse than Las Vegas, what happened to us in the United States. Derivatives and credit default swaps. And, I mean, people thought that there's no way the housing market could ever go under. I mean, real estate always goes up, right? And then 2008 hit in the United States, man. I'll tell you what, that should be a show unto itself. Wow, our house was underwater. We bought our house in 2004 for $300,000, and it's here in a suburb of Cincinnati, a really nice community, and I bought it when I got my promotion in corporate. And yeah, I told you a million times, right? I've been buying things I couldn't afford with money I didn't have to impress people I didn't like, and the house just happened to be one of those things. But my wife and I felt we had Madeline and Laura at the time. Well, actually, we had Madeline. We were due with Laura 4 months after we closed on the house. We closed on the house May 1st of 2004, and Laura was born August 12th. God, I better get that date right. August 12th. Anyway, it was more a house than we needed at the time, but wow. I mean, it's so beautiful. And it's the house we've lived in for 11 years. It's really the only home anyone in our family's ever known, our kids. And we'll probably die in this house. It's become, we finished the basement. I built a recording studio in here. Great neighborhood, amazing schools, one of the top 5 school districts in the state of Ohio, public schools we send our kids to. And it's funny, you know, when you get that promotion, you feel like, geez, I need the big house now, right? I mean, I got the title of, you know, division manager running a $90 million show. Huh. Got to entertain, you know. And what's the first thing I did? I entertained, had people over, a little bit of wine, you know, so like cook out on the grill. It was all keeping up with the Joneses. But we've transitioned that lifestyle since I launched the Everyday Saturday brand. And now this has turned into more of a home. When we first bought it, it was a house. And now it's a home. And the difference between a house and a home, I mean, a house is a structure. You can buy a house anywhere in the world, really. And it's just, it's got a roof, it's got walls, it's got running water, you know, if you're lucky enough, unless you live in a country where it doesn't. But a home. I grew up on 9 Elm Street in Bradford, PA. That was a barn, man. It sold for $4,000. Let me put you on the other end of this now. In 1987, my mom sold that home for $4,000. It's the home that I was raised in. We bought it. We moved to Bradford in 1964. My father was a teacher, a professor at the University of Pittsburgh. and he relocated us to the University of Pittsburgh at Bradford, and that's why, you know, we moved to that small town in the middle of nowhere. And then my dad went crazy and left my mom to raise eight kids by herself, and but I was raising at home, and I'm telling you, man, it was a barn. I mean, literally, there was ice on the inside of the windows, on the inside of the windows. I mean, you would just, you know how when you put your finger on a piece of ice, it slowly starts to melt and it forms kind of a bigger circle. That's what I used to do at night on the windows in my bedroom, is just say, wow, look at all this ice. And I used to scrape the ice off the inside of the window. The insulation, I mean, come on, what's that? So it's funny, you would watch the Today Show or one of the morning newscasts nationally in the morning, and it would list our town, Bradford, PA, sometimes as the coldest spot in the nation. And so I know what the difference between a house and a home is, and so do you. You know, the goal is, when you're living this lifestyle, it's not about to take screenshots of your bank account, man. It's about to build that home. You know, it's about to build that lifestyle. I love being home. I'm a homebody. You know, I love watching TV at night. I don't get to watch nearly as much of it as I used to, but I'm a big crime drama. You know that if you listen to this show. I like Dateline, 48 Hours, Criminal Minds, CSI, all that stuff. I just love solving those crimes, or thinking, you know, that I can solve the crime. My two favorite movies are The Verdict with Paul Newman in 1982. Lost the Oscars that year to Ben Kingsley and Gandhi. Should have never happened. Paul Newman was amazing. If you've never seen that film, watch it, The Verdict. Great movie. My favorite movie of all time. My second favorite movie is A Few Good Men, Tom Cruise in the early 1990s. Great movie. And again, it's a whodunit, keeps you on the edge of your seat, great acting, and all of that, man. And the whole reason I'm even talking about this is to try to bring this back to yesterday. We have a family of six now, our baby Susan, and we had a doctor appointment, her first appointment back in Children's Hospital. And we have to make her mobile. Let me tell you, if you don't know yet what it takes, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show, to get Susan to anywhere out of the home, we have to disconnect her from the ventilator, put her on a portable ventilator. We got to bring a suction machine because we got to suction the secretions out of her trach tube regularly. Like, I'm talking like every 10 minutes sometimes. We got to bring an AMBU bag, which is an emergency bag in case she codes, goes into distress or anything like that. We literally got to bag her and pump and do CPR. We got two oxygen tanks, one oxygen tank she's hooked up to, and two spares, okay, that ride with us in the car, which when people are tailgating you and cutting you off in traffic and you got three full oxygen tanks in your car. Because as our surgical rep, Dave, has told us many times, when he came out to hook up all the equipment, he said, you know, oxygen falls and goes boom, right? So don't let these tanks drop. And he said it so cavalierly. You know, oxygen falls and goes boom, right? I'm like, yes. Thank you for that reminder. So I never want the oxygen to fall and go boom, and I never want to get in a car accident with three full tanks. So we got a stroller. You can imagine. Imagine if you've got an infant and you want to go to the zoo, what you got to bring. Okay, now add a ventilator, emergency bags, two of them, three oxygen tanks, a suction machine, and all this other stuff. And, of course, she's connected all these tubes, right? So we do that. We go to Children's Hospital. We arrive for the 2 o'clock appointment, and it was amazing. Susan got flying colors. She's 24 inches long now. She weighs 14.2 pounds. Guys, she was born at 1 pound. 1 pound. She's now 14 pounds. Her lungs are sick, but we already know that, you know? And there's some stress, though, that you feel because, for example, when you're disconnecting your daughter from the ventilator at home, even though you're putting her on a portable ventilator, you're literally, when you hit the off button on that ventilator, you have literally shut off her path to life, her path to breathing, until you hook her up to the new one. And those of you that have children or you have loved ones, maybe a parent, you know that feeling, you know, and it's a little freaky. I mean, you don't think about it too much because I never let my mind wander, but I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you that for that short period of time, we're talking maybe 2 or 3 seconds, you're thinking, did I hook that up right? Because I didn't the first time yesterday. Classic. This is classic. Angela's got her back turned to me. She's tending to Susan, getting her in the stroller and the car seat and everything. Gosh, I can't even tell you how much work. It's a half hour just to get out of the house. And I'm trying to mess with the oxygen tank because I got to replace it now. Susan's been home 3 weeks. I have not replaced the oxygen tank that we travel with because we've only used it once, and that's to go to the pediatrician. Well, it was low, just about out of oxygen. So we've got like 8 of them here. They're all full, and you just stare at them waiting for them to explode in the dining room. Just kidding. I hook up the new oxygen tank, but I didn't hook it up right. And I went to turn it on, and it went but much louder, like, sorry for the annoying noise. My wife jumped through the roof, like literally jumped up in the air. And I was like, oh my God. And we both thought I blew the house up, but we were still standing. So that was impossible that I blew us up. Scared the living bejesus out of her and more me. Literally, I think I wet my pants. That's how. So I immediately called our hospital equipment rep on the phone. Dave got him on speaker. I'm like, hey, Dave, I'm trying to blow up my house. How do I not do that? How do I hook it up? He says, you got to line up the two prongs, blah, blah, blah. So he told me I got it right. Oh my God, just telling that story gave me a little bit of, ooh. And then I hooked it up, hooked Susan up, ran the oxygen to the ventilator, ventilator to the tube, tube to her trach. And guys, think about all that just right there. And then I turned the oxygen on. She takes 1 liter of oxygen through her vent. And it seemed to be working. But again, you don't know. You're staring at her. Is she dying? Is she going to die? What are you? Look at her. You know, it's like, okay, she seems to be okay. And so I actually think she had a little bit of gas, which is great, because when she has gas, she tends to break a little bit of a smile, too, at the same time. So it's like, oh, she's smiling. Okay, great. So we get her in the car. We drive down, and for 4 hours, we got home last night close to 7 o'clock. We were there for 4 hours, left around 6:15, got home at 7 o'clock at night. But we did it. You know, we did it. Repetition decreases resistance. Now, that's the second time we've had her outside the home. And it was an amazing appointment. She's 24 inches long, weighs 14 pounds. Her lungs are doing a little better. She's on her way, man. She's on her way. And we're taking these small steps on our way to freedom. And her day to freedom is the day she gets that trach tube out. And I'm hoping it's her third birthday at the latest. And we claim that. You know, that's what we claim that's going to happen. So my hope for you, this is a getaway day for me. I'm going to record this show and packing up. I'm heading to Toronto to speak tomorrow. And I'll be back tomorrow night. I'm only going away for one night, but my hope for you, my prayer for you as we move into the weekend is you enjoy your time with your family, enjoy your time in the home, make your home a home, you know, put your own recording studio in, shoot some videos, create some audios, get away in a little bit of a, you know, an area of the house where it's quiet. Maybe you've got a four-season room that overlooks a backyard with trees, maybe a pond, or maybe you want to do something. Why don't you go buy a couple trees, put them outside your window, stare at them for inspiration. Look, if you're going to go spend $100 on a dinner, you know, for somebody, why don't you go spend $100 on a nice tree that symbolizes your freedom, you know, that symbolizes the gratitude. Call it your gratitude tree. But guys, look, this is the kind of stuff I think about, you know. I bought six apple trees at Home Depot for like $10 a pop 3 years ago. They look like Charlie Brown trees. They're horrible. They're embarrassing, and I'm not taking them out of my yard. I'm just not. They have yet to produce. I think in 3 years they've produced 2 apples, which is great. I don't even care. They're symbolic of 2012 was an amazing year for us, for our family. We had some really good times. We moved back to Ohio from New York. It was it was a great time, and I remember planting those trees and just the great mood. I go back to the mood I was in when I planted those trees. They look awful, but they just reflect the gratitude I had for that summer of 2012. I was in incredible shape like I am now. And everything was good, man. The air smelled a little bit better. The food tasted good that summer. And I just remember that being an amazing year. And it was only 3 years ago. So when I see those trees, I think, I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling good. They may not look good, but beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Susan Crowley's doing amazing. The Crowley family's doing amazing. And I just want to pass that love from me through the mic to your ears, to your heart. And get you reflecting on the things that really matter, man. The house, the home, the family, the gratitude. Mow your lawn, plant the grass, plant a tree, do whatever you got to do. And then reflect back and look at what you've done and say, you know what, man, I got an opportunity today. That's all I wanted. Just give me a chance. I just want a chance to be successful and to be happy. You with me? Have an amazing weekend. Sam Crowley signing off for just today. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter @SamCrowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag #EveryDayIsSaturday.